Father, I thank you, Lord, and I give you honor and praise. Your words already gone forth in these songs. And Lord, we follow it through also again with the preaching of the word. We declare that the entrance of your word, it brings light into our hearts today and gives understanding. Glory to God. And let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let the people be blessed. And let chains be broken. Hallelujah. Gates of brass cut asunder, you know, and so forth. Iron bars, gates swung wide open, bars cut asunder, and that people of the Lord going through in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just a reminder, since it was several days ago that we did part one of this mini-series, what we're talking about is your season of breakthrough and total recovery. And let me start off today by saying there is an anointing present today for total lifting. That's right. You know, God is going to show you and give you and give you total lifting, and also show you how to keep it. Praise the Lord. So in lesson one, we talked about, you know, recognizing that we can seize the moment, you know, rather than waiting for some season in the future, which quite possibly God may have appointed. And that's okay. And we understand that God does appoint the seasons sometimes. But at any time, we've seen and shown through the scriptures that people can actually pierce that veil of waiting. You can pierce the veil and go in and receive what is yours today. As it is spoken, today is the day of salvation. So that was lesson one. We established that by many infallible scriptures and proofs from the Bible that that happened in many instances. It happened in the instance when Jesus told the Greek Syrophoenician woman that it's not time, you know, for this blessing to cross over to the Gentiles. But she pierced the veil of time and got it anyway, you know. And, you know, we've seen, you know, even people in the scriptures, you know, when, you know, someone said, well, that's not for you. Well, they got it anyway. There was a story that even Jesus told of David, you know, when they told Jesus that, well, they challenged him, why are your disciples going through the cornfields on Sunday, I mean, not Sunday, sorry, on Sabbath day and plucking corn? It's not lawful for them to do that on the Sabbath. They should have done that the day before. Well, Jesus himself wasn't doing it. It was his disciples doing it, but he wasn't stopping them. Hallelujah. So he wasn't stopping them at all. They went through, they were doing it. He didn't say, he said nothing. You know, and they did it. And then, of course, Pharisees came along and said, well, why are you guys doing that? You're breaking the law. And Jesus said, well, have you never read that which David did? You know, the unlawful thing that David did. Something that was considered unlawful. There was showbread that was only lawful for the priest to eat. Jesus said, did you not read, even in your law, how that David went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the priest and did take of that bread and ate it and also gave to people that were with him and they ate it? Well, if you haven't read that, well, he also asked them, have you not read what your God said that I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, this one who you claim to be your God. And if you only knew what that means, then you would not even condemn the guiltless. And Jesus turned around and said, well, I tell you something too. You know, the Sabbath day was made for man, not the other way around. You know, therefore, the Lord is Lord also of the Sabbath day. He can do anything he wants. Praise the Lord, you know, so Sometimes we bind ourselves with do's and don'ts, and sometimes they're okay, but other times they're just a hindrance, you know, from the blessing of God. So we have proof. I've got proof in the scriptures that anyone that can believe God at any time, whether it's the season or it's not the season, you know, you can believe God, you can get what you want from the Lord. However, there's also seasons that God does appoint. And we've proven that in the scriptures as well. And there was a certain season that he sent an angel, you know, to do something, and they got, somebody got a healing. But Jesus also showed that while they were waiting for that season, somebody can step in and receive something, even though that season wasn't quite yet there. And we've seen in the scriptures how that God calls things that are not as though they already are. In other words, it's not yet time for this season, but yeah, he calls it now. We've also seen the scriptures where one fig tree was not producing because it was not the season. And Jesus wasn't happy with that. Season or not, bring forth your fruit. Hallelujah. You know, so season or not, this is my posture. Because we always talk about season of breakthrough, your season of this, your season of that, which also I'm talking about it today, just like everybody. But I'm putting a disclaimer out there that even though we do speak, right, you know, speak of seasons and stuff, God's not a seasonal God. God is a now God. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. So, you know, yeah, there are appointed times and seasons according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But then also, you know, faith is goes into the fourth dimension. It can pierce any veil of time or any other things. Hallelujah. Now, that being said, it is indeed a time of breakthrough according to Psalm 102 and verse 13. It is indeed time. You know, God has called for the time for us to get certain blessings. And today, on such a day as this, on this ninth day of this ninth month of this year, well, let's see what the Lord is speaking unto us. And if you can receive it, well, Jesus in one place said, if you can receive it, well, this was Elijah that was for to come. Well, okay. Let me put it to us this way. If you can receive it, this is that season of breakthrough, that season and appointed time that was for to come. If you can receive it now, you know, then it is already here. Praise the Lord. So let's see. Let me challenge your faith today. Let's see what kind of faith you got. See if you can believe God for today. For thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So this scripture, you can read this scripture any day, and it will be time, because he said the time has come. You can read this scripture tomorrow, and it will be time, because he said the set time has come. You can read this scripture 10 years from now, and it will still be time, because this scripture said the time has come. So this is infallible proof that wherever and whenever you can believe God, it's time. Praise the Lord. And I said also in lesson one that, you know, we can never be in yesterday, neither can you ever be in tomorrow. You are always in today. You know, nobody can be in yesterday. Nobody can be in tomorrow. We're always in today. Now, God, on the other hand, and the prophetic gift, it can go in and out into those veils, you know, can go into the past, present, and future. But for us, we are always, for the most of us, you know, generality of people can only be in the present. It's always today. And even if you are looking at the clock and it's about to strike midnight, and you say, well, we're not yet in tomorrow. It's a few minutes before tomorrow. That's okay. But when it strikes midnight, it will be today. It will not be tomorrow. It's always today. Praise the Lord. Now that tells us, you know, just like the scripture says, does not even the scripture, nature teach you certain things? Well, even this thing I just described in nature teaches us that it's always today. So don't put it off. You know, today, now, faith is. So right now, our God is a God of now. And Jesus explained it also. He said, look, what things soever you desire, Mark 11 and 24, when you pray. So it's at the time that you pray, not some future thing. You know, when at the moment that you are praying about it, you believe it at that moment. That's it. That settles it. Now, it may take some time afterward for the realization of the thing, and that's okay. And that's part of the lessons that we teach of how to wait and get what you already believe God for. But you must believe it at the moment of prayer, and you must keep believing. Now, having said that, I'm going to give us some scriptures today. Powerful scriptures. The anointing for breakthrough in these scriptures. The anointing for, I call it, total lifting. Lift you up out of the miry clay, put you where you belong. The anointing for total recovery in these scriptures. I'm going to put them out for you. You lay hold on it. Now, there's a thing about scriptures. Many of us know this already. But there's a thing about scriptures, you know. The scriptures, written like in the pages of the Bible, or maybe you are reading it in your paper Bible, or reading it through an app or on your phone or whatever. Those things, you know, they are at best latent. There's power in them, but they are bent at best latent, loaded with power, but it can't do you any good. You know, until you do something. You know, some people put the Bible underneath their pillow to sleep on as if that's going to help them. That's not going to help you at all. You know, if you don't know what's inside that Bible and you don't know how to use it, you can put it, you can carry it in your purse all day long and put it in your, under your pillow. You can do all of those things with it. That doesn't mean anything. What does mean something though is you know what it says. And you put a voice to it. That's right. I've said it a million times on this platform. When you put a voice to what the word of God says, that's what means something. That's how it's activated. These are the ordinances of heaven. You can't change it. You know, look, scripture says the letter killeth. You know, so, but the spirit that gives life. Also, Jesus gave, you know, this profound teaching. It was just a one sentence or so that he gave, but it's loaded. You know, if you get the understanding of it, then you know what I'm talking about. In the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 3, you know, and I do reference this from time to time. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Now, again, what does that mean? Well, that also means being physically present alone doesn't accomplish anything for you. You can be physically present, but your mind, you're distracted by so many things. And just hearing it physically doesn't necessarily give you an advantage. What gives you an advantage is when you unite with the Spirit of God to take what is already spoken in the realm of the spirit, and you activate it for yourself by your voice. We've spoken about Psalm 103 verse 20 a lot in this room. It says, the angels that excel in strength should praise the Lord. You know, angels that excel in strength say, praise the Lord, ye his hosts, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. He already gave commandment. He said, well, when you hear them give voice to my word, then go into action. So these scriptures that I'm about to read for you today, they are scriptures that are loaded with power, yet They are dormant until you put your faith to it. You got to light up something. Praise God. You can have a stick of dynamite. You can have a match stick and so forth. You know, something's got to happen to put something together. The dynamite stick is there. It's loaded with power. The match stick is in your hand. You know, has the power to ignite something. But, you know, nothing going to happen until, one, you crank up the, you know, the match stick. You turn it on. Or it could be, you know, a fire thing, fire lighter or whatever. You know, you got to crank that thing up and start the fire. And then put the fire to the dynamite stick. And then the next thing you know, sometimes they put a long rope to that dynamite stick, you know, stick to help you to escape the explosion. But you light the fire, you light the stick, and you see the spark of the fire going towards now. You run because there's coming an explosion. But you got to light that fire. And this is how you light the fire. First of all, you know, to close out last lesson, let me read to you Ezekiel chapter 12. And, you know, again, this is infallible proof that we don't need to be saying it's still future, it's still future, it's still future. Yeah, well, you can believe God and God will do it for you. And there is a great lesson out of this Ezekiel chapter 12. I usually read only 2 verses of it, but today I'm going to read about 8 verses of it, just so we get a clear context. I'm going to read it from verse 21 to the end. Normally, I would just read verse 25 and verse 28. But I'm going to read verse 21 to the end. Now, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Ezekiel 12 and 21. Son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying that days are prolonged? And every vision faileth, or, you know, vision will wait, doesn't come to pass. So they think it failed, you know. Now, tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God. That's right. And when you put thus saith the Lord God upon it like that, well, it's thus saith the Lord God. Praise the Lord. You know, so thus saith the Lord God. What did the Lord God say, though? I will make this proverb to be a thing of the past. I'll make it to cease. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand. And the effect of every vision is right now, is at hand. You know, and all these things, it's future, we're waiting. We're always waiting. Yeah, but today, if you can believe it, this can be it. Now, and it says, of course, there's also lying, divination, and so forth. For there shall no more be any more vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Now, listen to this. For I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, he rebuked them too. You know, will I say the word, and will in your days will I perform it also, saith the Lord. Well, let me say that a different way. For I am the Lord. And I have spoken. That's right. And the word that I have spoken shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Because he did speak after this. Spoke a lot of things to them. So it's already spoken. It shall no longer be prolonged. In your days have I spoken it. And in your days will I bring it to pass as well. Well, today, if you read the word of God, that's the day that he spoke it. Because his word is beautiful for every situation. Then, if you believe it, you know, you can get under that word, a cloud of faith. And my goodness, You know, you can really do something with it. It's kind of like David picked out 5 smooth stones and took his sling and went out against Goliath. Well, 5 smooth stones can represent some specific promises that you find in the scriptures. I've taught people how to look for those scriptures to line up with what you're believing. Then you take your faith, which is your sling, arm yourself with the scriptures and your faith, and you go after Goliath. Hallelujah. So let's do it. And the Lord said again, word of the Lord said, you know, because the house of Israel say the vision is still for many days to come. You know, people are always talking about the future. Well, and all these things they've prophesied, you will emerge, you will experience quantum leap, you will experience the year of the prophetic repairs, your epic story is starting. All these things are future. You know, that's what people say. But the Lord said to Ezekiel, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. That's right. Now this scripture, even though it was written thousands of years ago, because we are reading it today, it's still valid for today. That means the word of the Lord should no longer be prolonged even as of this day. But the word which I have spoken, remember, he said, I will speak. But now he says, I have spoken. Now, the word which I have spoken shall be done. And I say speedily and hastily. Hallelujah. You know, and it is your faith that is going to hasten it. God, on the other hand, his zeal will hasten his word to perform it. But you are the one that's going to make it happen for you. It'll be happening for somebody else and not you. If you are not getting under it with faith. You know, so that concludes the argument that we don't need to be waiting. You can believe God for today. Now, here are some scriptures. Having said all of that, you can believe God for today. Anointing of total lifting, anointing for total recovery. And what the Lord had to say, I'm going to show you at the end here, somebody that received that total recovery. But first, let's read some scriptures of how the Lord said he will break. Now, there are a lot of things that are holding us back, a lot of barriers, a lot of hedging in from the devil and different things. But there's also promises from the scriptures. Here's one in Isaiah chapter 14. Let's read from verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, now that is surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And what is the thing that he has thought? What is the thing that he has purposed? Well, let's read it. That I will break the Assyrian. You know, listen to that song at the beginning. I said, break every chain. Well, you know, I will break the Assyrian. The Assyrian is like the oppressor. I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains will I tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of my people, and his burden shall depart from off their shoulders. Hallelujah. It's a powerful declaration from the Lord. Well, the Lord is saying, you know, this is the thought that I have towards you. And this is what I have purposed in my heart. I'm going to break that, you know, oppressive spirit and that oppression and the things that are holding you back. The gates of brass. I'm going to break them, the bars of iron, cut them asunder. Well, that's what the Lord is saying. This is a purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand of the Lord that is stretched out over all the nations, particularly for his people. For the Lord of hosts has proposed it, and who can disannul it? I mean, when God has said something, who's strong enough, you know, to disannul it? Well, your unbelief. You know, if you don't use your faith, you will make that thing dead. God told the children of Israel, you will see my breach of promise. So barring that, you know, If you have faith in what God has said, there's really nobody that can turn aside what God has said. You know, and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Praise God. Powerful, powerful scripture for us to lead off with on this anointing that God gives for breakthrough. We're talking about breakthrough now. These are your breakthrough scriptures, you know, that you can use for yourself. Well, let's talk about, you know, this anointing that God gives to break through for you. There's an anointing present in every service. Today, it is the breakthrough anointing that is present here for you. I'm going to read to you Isaiah chapter 10. Praise the Lord. And verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Today. That's right. You know, so whatever, when you are reading it, read it as today. It shall come to pass. This was written thousands of years ago, but in that day, the target of that day could be today for you. In that day, saith the Lord, that the burden, his burden, and this is Assyrian, this is Egypt, and all these things that are tormenting the people. Well, he said, it shall come to pass in that day, you know, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and the yoke of the oppressor shall be removed from off thy neck, you know, and his yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing of the Lord. That's right. Now, this anointing is here present today to destroy the yoke, to break every chain. So you believe the scriptures and praise the Lord. Well, let's look at Isaiah, you know, chapter 45, verses 2 and 3. Praise the Lord. These are powerful scriptures. You can lay hold on it. He said, I will go before thee, he said, and I will make the crooked places straight, and I'll break in pieces the gates of brass holding you back, got you jammed in all your life. Cut in sunder the bars of iron. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what we're talking about today. The Lord said he would do it. You can believe it. It can happen right today. It can begin to happen today. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 44, reading to you from verse 24. Powerful promises that you can lay hold on. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. So he's talking to you now. He's talking to you. He talked to Cyrus, but he's also talking to you. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, even he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I stretch forth the heavens alone. I spread it abroad the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then. I still don't need any help today. Nobody needs, you know, God doesn't need any help. He did it by himself. He do it by himself today. I am the Lord that frustrates the talkings of the liars. I love this one. Now make a diviner smart. Anybody that's trying to gaze into your life, we talked about this the other day. You know, I turn them backwards and make their knowledge foolish. I confirm it. Listen to this. I'm claiming this today. Confirm it, the word of his servant. I, being a servant of the Lord, being sent to bring you this message of hope today. Hallelujah. Well, he said, the Lord said, I will confirm the word of my servant. I can, you know, perform the counsel of my messengers. And I will say to my people, you know, it is well with you, basically. Talking about Jerusalem and this and that, but, you know, talk to you the same way. It is well with you, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And, you know, the psalmist, he latched on, David, he latched on to some of these, you know, things. And he said, well, I know what the Lord can do for me. In fact, he testified and said, I know what the Lord's done for me. You know, I know how to wait, but I can also receive. So these are the two things. We must wait, but we must also receive. While you're waiting and the Lord says it is time, then you step into your receiving. So many of you have been waiting, but the Lord says it's time for you to receive. I waited patiently for the Lord, he said, Psalm 40. Well, you know, many of you have been waiting patiently, but now it is time. You know, we're told time to favor God's people has come. And he inclined it unto me and heard my cry. And what did he do when the day came? Well, guess what he did? He brought me up out of an horrible pit. If you're in a horrible situation right now, one where you think, well, you know, or devil tells you, there's no escape. Well, it's like sinking sand. It's like quicksand. The more you struggle, the deeper you get, the more entangled you are. You know, the miry place is, you know, quicksand. You can't get out of it. And set my feet upon a rock. He brought me out of it all. Huh? Glory to God. He took and he drew me out, he said, in another place. He established my goings and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now that must be your testimony. Hallelujah. Should be able to say afterwards that once I heard this message, I positioned myself to receive of the Lord. And here's what he has done for me. He brought me out of the miry clay and a horrible pit and set my feet on a rock. He established my goings and I put a new song in my mouth. Even praise. So God's going to give you reason for praise. Hallelujah. Even more reason. When you praise the Lord, he'll give you more reason. He that hath shall be given more. So that he can have even the more abundance. Now, praise coming from your mouth to the Lord because of the great things he's doing for you and will yet do. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And this was David's testimony. Well, let's read some more powerful promises of how God gives you breakthrough. I'm intermingling them with promises. Breakthrough promises and testimonies. Here's Isaiah chapter 42. And see what this scripture says. Give you another assurance. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Isaiah 42 and 16. And I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness, light before them, and crooked things straight, even for the blind, so that they will not be stumbling around. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, to give recovery of sight to the blind, and make crooked things to be straight. These things will I do unto them, and will not forsake them. Praise the Lord. Right. They will not forsake them. The Lord will do these things unto you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Let's read another powerful promise about what you can get for your breakthrough. When it starts, shall come like a flood, saith the Lord. Remember ye not the former things. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Neither consider the things of old. You say, well, you know, my situation, my plight, my this, my that. Well, that was then, but this is now. Behold, I will do a new thing. Isaiah 43 and 19. Now it shall spring forth. And shall ye not know it? You know, I spoke about, you know, what the Lord is cooking. Can you smell it? Well, because he's getting ready to serve it up. And I believe it's ready. And there you can step in and get it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord will do for you. And here's another testimony. We're just mingling the promises, the anointed scriptures for total lifting and delivery and recovery, and mixing them up with testimonies. Here's Psalm 113. And some of you might remember this even, you know, before that, Anna and all, you know, were praying about these things. And you say, well, the Lord is able to do these things. He raises up the poor out of the dust. This was also in Anna's prayer, in the early chapter of 1 Samuel. I raised up the poor, lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Now, this is a testimony too of what the Lord does. And when you receive your breakthrough anointing beginning today, this can also be your testimony. There can be a sudden promotion. There can be increase as well. Joyful mother of children. Now let's read Psalm 68 and see again scriptures of what the Lord is doing and also, you know, has done, is doing, and also has done. And let this be your testimony, your praises, and so forth. Let the righteous be glad, he said in Psalm 68 and verse 3. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God and sing praises unto his name. You know, exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Why? Because he's a father to the fatherless. He's a judge of the widows. God is in his holy habitation. He setteth the solitary in families. Same thing. Bringeth out those that are bound, you know, with chains. Break those chains. And so forth. You know, this is what the Lord does for his people. So let's believe the Lord. He can do this for you too. Praise the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe also his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Praise the Lord. Let's read Isaiah chapter 40. And how, see again what the Lord would do with crooked things, make a way for you, give you an opportunity, you know, to experience breakthrough and deliverance. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. You know, whatever, you know, when you are down, God will lift you up. And the mountains that are blocking your way, God will bring them down. Every crooked thing shall be made straight. The rough places also shall be made plain. That's right. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in your life, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's a point blank promise for us to believe. And sometimes it looks like, well, you know, it doesn't look like it. Well, never mind whether it looks like it or not. We saw how God did it in the book of Genesis. It didn't look like it, but he called it forth. And Romans chapter 4 verse 17 gives us an insight into how, you know, God did these things. He said that, you know, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things, you know, that are not as though they already were. And this is how God did it. This is how you must do it too. You can be looking for something and it doesn't look like it's there. Well, that's because you are looking through the glasses of the natural eye. Well, put on your glasses of faith now. That's right. And look by faith. And you'll see it. Glory to God. You'll see it already. And he said, look, you can call it forth. Once you see it, you call it forth. Holy Spirit will show it to you. You can see it in a dimension of faith. Then you call it forth. God said to Abraham, come out here. Let me show you something. Everything that you can see or visualize will I give to you. So he come out, he sees it. The more he saw, the more God gave him. Now, if you can see it in the spirit too, you know, John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit will help you to see the things that are not yet. That's right. They will show you things to come. Holy Spirit will show you that victory that you are getting. And once he shows it to you, you haven't seen it physically, but you've seen it in the realm of the spirit. He shows you things to come. You know, if you have a diagnosis, Holy Spirit will show you your healing. Huh? Glory to God. You're struggling with anything, Holy Spirit will show you victory over it. Praise the Lord. You know, you needing to get married, Holy Spirit will show you walking down that aisle and so on. You're needing promotion, Holy Spirit will show you in that new position. Once you see it in the realm of the spirit, you latch onto it. And say, and you do exactly what God did. God saw those things in his mind and called them forth. One by one. It was all in his mind. Called them forth. And you see it also with your spiritual eye. And you call it forth. Praise God. Now, we need to be bold, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be beggarly in your prayers. When you are talking about your breakthrough, you got to be bold. You see it in the eye of faith and you call it forth boldly. You declare it for yourself. Hallelujah. That's how, you know, you will be justified. Even the Lord said so in Isaiah chapter 43. He said so in verse 26. You have got to declare these things forth. And that's how they will happen. They won't happen on otherwise. You know, you say, I believe, but you did not speak. Well, you say, because we have believed, therefore we have spoken. When you believe, then you must speak. Praise the Lord. And when you speak forth what you have believed, the Lord said, put me in remembrance, Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Let us plead together. Put me in remembrance means remind me of what I already said. You know, you tell the Lord, you said so. And I'm standing right here upon the word of God. Glory to God. And then he said, declare it. You've got to declare it though. You know, you can't believe it in your heart only. That's not good enough. But declare it and begin to act accordingly. You know, with the heart, man believes, you know, unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation or realization of the thing. Now, you believe in your heart and you declare it with your mouth. You declare. Declare the mountains that are in front of you are falling. Declare that the chains are broken. Declare the paths ahead of you are made straight. Things that are crooked, challenges, you tried something, it didn't work, this and that. Begin to declare the positive victories. Declare and act the same. If you declare that you are healed, then get out of bed. Praise the Lord. And that's how they did it. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. The disciples, they did the same. Even Peter, and he told the man, such as I have, I give unto you. He took him by the hand. Didn't even give the man the chance to say, what are you talking about? Just took him by the hand, pulled him up. Ha! Glory to God. You got to act. You got to put action to what you are declaring. First, you believe it, and then you declare it, and next, you put action to it. You got to act like you are declaring. You can't do, say one thing with your mouth and be acting the opposite way. Or the next day, you say something different. That's not going to work. Got to stay with the word of God. Now, at first, when you begin to declare these things, they may look like nothing is really happening. But remember the stories that are in the Bible They are for our examples. So, yeah, the story of Elijah after the Mount Carmel showdown and how he went to pray for the rain, which the Lord already told him was coming, right? He said, I hear the abundance of rain. Well, let's read it. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. Elijah heard it. Nobody else heard it. But he heard it. He knew it was coming. In fact, the Lord already told him. He said, go and make yourself known to Ahab, because I will send rain upon the earth. Yeah, so he already knew. And he, not only the Lord, he heard the word of the Lord, he hears the sound in the spirit. He's hearing that sound coming, but there's nothing happening in the physical. He has heard it in the spirit. He has been told him of the Lord, and he's hearing it, but he is not seeing anything in the physical. Then what do you do? Well, let's see what we do. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. But Elijah, on the other hand, went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself upon the ark, put his face between his knees, and began to pray. We read it later in James chapter 5, that Elijah prayed fervently. Some people might say, well, but the Lord already said he's coming. Well, yeah. But, you know, there's times you got to keep praying and keep declaring the word of God. You believe that it's there and you keep declaring and fighting, warding off anything that's holding it back. You got to do that. You know, sometimes there's a release. We see that in Daniel chapter 10, there was a release of an answer to his prayer, but it was withheld. And the angel that was bringing it to him, another angel confronted that, and there was battle. And it went on and on and on for days. Actually, 3 weeks it went on. You know, so these lessons are there to show us, from the day that you believe, God dispatches the answer. But there may be some things holding back, but you got to do your part. So Elijah's part was he went to pray. He sent his servant, go check it out. The man came and said, there is nothing. See, this will happen many times. When God has promised something, you believe in it, you have declared it, but what do you see? Nothing. You will see nothing at first. But if you quit just because you saw nothing at first, then you will get nothing. Elijah didn't quit. He said, I know God already told me. I heard it. I'm hearing the sound, but I don't see it. Well, what do? I keep on praying. Keep on believing. Prayed some more. Prayed some more. Prayed some more. Sent his servant and go check it out again. The man came out and said, I see nothing. Well, Elijah, he wouldn't quit. 7 times they did this thing. You know, each time someone came back, said there, I see nothing. Elijah went into deeper dimensions of prayer and declarations. Oh, you said it. You said it. And I've kept your word. I'm your servant. I've kept your word as this day. And I've told them there's coming rain. And the man, even the king, he has gone forth to prepare to eat. Now, therefore, you know, let thy word, which you have spoken, be verified. And he begin to pray. Nothing still. These lessons are there to show us the things that we can go through and must go through at times. 7 times this thing didn't happen. Well, so finally, on the 7th time, or the first 6 times, nothing happened. Finally, on the 7th time, we're told, the man said, I do see something. So behold, there arises a cloud, little cloud of sea. But it's like a man's hand. What is so little? You know, when you're telling us that it's going to be a downpour, all I see is a little cloud. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it. So you got to keep on. It doesn't matter how long. You got to keep on believing. Eventually, when it does start, it may not start all at once with a torrential downpour. It may start with just a little cloud at first, Jesus told a parable also in Mark chapter 4. Let me read it to you from verse 26. He says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. He should sleep and rise day and night. The seed will spring forth of itself. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. But what's the process? I mean, the moment you plant the seed, do you get the harvest the next day? Of course not. Sometimes there's a long time in between the planting. In fact, God gives the planting rain and the harvest rain. That's a long time. Could be months, 8 months, 9 months, be a year. I don't know. Sometimes depending on kind of crop, it take many, 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 many months. But Jesus explained the process. So when you plant, you leave it alone, the earth is going to take care of it. You don't need to go dig it up and bring it out of the earth to see whether it's growing. It is growing. You may not see it yet, but hold on. You'll soon see it. Something's happening underground. Now, eventually, it's going to spring forth. But even when it starts to spring forth, how does it happen? Jesus explained it. First, the blade. See, a little thing springs forth. It looks like grass at first. You know, and then after a while, and these phases, it could be weeks between, maybe even months. And then after a while, the ear spring forth. It's talking about corn now. And then after yet another long while, then you got the full corn in the air. And then the next thing you know, you got a great and plentiful harvest. Now, as soon as this man sees that everything is ripe, well, then immediately put it in the sickle. Because the harvest has come. But there is a process. But this process starts today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, for today, is the day of salvation. So we are going to believe today. The book of Job also explains this process. In the book of Job, chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, well, there are things that start small, but later on, they are greatly increased. Job 8 and 7 will say it on this wise. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. So the things that start out small, you believe in God, and it looks like, well, nothing at first. And then even when there is something, it's very little. Almost like, what is this? Well, don't worry about it. God knows what he's doing. Proving you to see whether you will, you know, keep on believing. Let me show you the secret to all of these things that I've been talking about. Besides knowing the word of God, declaring, standing in the word of God, and so forth, here's another secret. I'm going to read it to you out of Job chapter 22 and verse 21. From verse 21 through about verse 30, there are many secrets that are revealed in that chapter. So let's read it. That's what it says. Acquaint now thyself with the Lord and be at peace. See, this is how good we come unto thee. See, thereby good shall come unto thee. So you got to spend time with the Lord. That's how you get acquainted. Be acquainted with his ways. Be acquainted with his thoughts. Be acquainted with what pleases him and what doesn't. Read his word, spend time, meditate, do all these things. Get close to the Lord. Hallelujah. The closer you get, the more sharply you will hear him. He might be speaking, but you may not hear it because, you know, your voice is not, your hearing, spiritual hearing is not trained. There are too many distractions. When you begin to cut those things out, getting closer to the Lord, you begin to hear him more sharply, especially when you praise the Lord. Dullness of ears, you begin to hear sharply. Are told that when you praise the Lord in his word, say, in thy word will I praise thee, the psalmist said. Now, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay his words in thine heart. All these things that we hear daily, lay them in thy heart. If thou return unto the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. This is how it, you gotta do it. And then you put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. Then, glory to God, shalt thou lay up gold as dust. the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou shalt have plenty of silver. But it starts out by drawing close to the Lord. Acquaint yourself with him. Spend time in his presence daily. Daily contact, preventing snares. You know, you got to spend time in his contact. I mean, in his presence, making contact with the Lord daily. Praise God. Now, say, you have your delight in the Lord thy God, and you lift up thy face unto God. You make your prayer unto him. Then he will hear you. But it starts by you delighting in the Almighty. Lifting up your prayer. If you make any vows too, better keep them. People say, well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. And the Lord does this, and then they forget to do that. God has no pleasure in that. You know, people who do that are called fools. The Lord has no pleasure in fools. Now, you don't want to be like that. So you keep your vows. Praise the Lord. Don't let your mouth cause you to sin when you stand before the angel of the Lord. You know, because why should the Lord destroy the work of your hands? So when you make a vow, better do it. Thou shalt also decree a thing. Well, this thing that we say, decree, decree, declare, declare. Well, it all starts by you acquainting yourself with the Lord, spending time in his presence, you know, being known of him. And you, I mean, no, he knows you, you know him, you understand him, and so on. Then you can make your declarations. When you make a decree, it can be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. But not only will you receive a lifting up, but you can lift others up as well. Men are cast down. You can say there is an anointing for lifting up to them, just like I'm saying to you today. And it's total lifting, not just a little bit, not just partial, full recovery. Now, let me give you this story in closing. Of total recovery. I said I'll give you this at the end. Total recovery, not partial only. Total. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, this story again surrounds the life of David. You know, there was a time in his life, always running from his life. I mean, for his life, running away from Saul and all that. He went and joined himself to the Philistines. Some people joined themselves to David as well. All the disgruntled people and everything. And one time they were into war to help out the Philistines. By the time they came, the place where they lived, which was called Ziklag, you know, they had been raided. You know, so let's read that story. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come back to Ziklag after fighting alongside with the Philistines that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, smitten it, burnt it with fire, and had taken away the women captives. Them that were therein, they didn't slay anybody, thank God. Either as great or small, but they carried them away and went their way. Carried them away captive. So, David and his men came back to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were all gone, taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept. They wept and wailed until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives at the time had been taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly, previous wife, that is, and David was greatly distressed. Even all the people spoke of stoning him, because it was because of him. They followed him to battle that doesn't even concern them. And so they're saying, look, I mean, you made us go to this thing that did not even concern us, but look at our situation now. And then Psalm 42 came out of that. Say, while thou cast down, O my soul, you know, and he encouraged himself, he stirred himself up. Here's what he said. The people were greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him because of the soul of all the people were grieved because of their sons, their daughters, their wives, and everything. They're gone. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Why thou cast down, O my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? Psalm 42, he said, you know, I will praise the Lord. You know, I will yet hope in the light of his countenance. He will be my deliverer. And he said it multiple times. In that, you know, chapter, you know, Psalm 42, you know, verse 5, he said it. Psalm 42, verse 11, he said it. And then also even in Psalm 43, he said it. So, and the rest of the story of Ziklag, let's read the interesting part of the story, or the more interesting, this is the background of what happened. And David, after weeping and crying and doing all of that and encouraging himself, he went back to the Lord. You must always go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I going to do? How do I get back my family and all these people, families? And he inquired of the Lord what to do. And of course, the Lord gave him the word of encouragement and what to do. Praise the Lord. So, David asked of the Lord, shall I pursue these people? You know, but David called for the priest, said, look, send me, bring me forth the priest and bring the ephod, bring all these things. Tell me, shall I pursue after this troop and shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered and said, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them. And listen to this word. See, this is what gave inspiration for this lesson. Thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Not partial recovery, but everything that the devil had taken from you. Praise the Lord. And, well, they did exactly that. And when they came back, let's jump to verse 17. David smote them the twilight, even to the evening of the next day. They escaped not a man out of them, except some few hundreds. And David recovered all. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives, his children, everything. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had been taken from them. David recovered all. He said it multiple times here. David took all the flocks of the herds, with their droving and so forth. This was his spoil. Not only did he recover that which was taken from him, he enlarged his own coast by taking from the enemy too. What was the enemy's? What the enemy took from David, David got it back. And David also spoiled the enemy on top of it. Now that's total recovery. Praise the Lord. Total recovery also means that, you know, God will not leave a scar. You know, sometimes when we are healed, there's a scar that is left, you know, teach us a lesson. But there are some healings that will heal and there will be no scar at all. And that's total recovery. You won't even remember it. You know, I remember once I had some serious damages on my palms because, you know, I fell seriously and I was trying to break my fall and it was on the asphalt and different things. My palms peeled and everything. But when it recovered, it came back. There was no scar whatsoever. Now, that's total recovery. Partial recovery is, well, you're healed, but there's a scar that's left. Sometimes emotional scars are left even when people say, well, you know, I've been through this and that. But God is promising you total healing, total recovery. No scars left behind. Sometimes God will leave some scars for evidence of what he did. Jesus himself, he chose not to remove his own scars. Because later on, you know, when he appears to the children of Israel, finally again, they say, where did you get those scars? You show them his hands. I say, you know, and then they will remember. You know. So he chose not to remove that. But he could have removed it, but he chose to leave it. Occasionally we may have scars that remain. But God asked me to tell you today that he can remove all of that. No scarring left behind. Total recovery in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray over the room now. Glory to God. Father, I thank you. Lord, the anointing of total lifting, the anointing for full recovery is here. Glory to God. And I'm going to use this word to pray over you for total recovery and total anointing from the Lord. I will restore unto you, said the Lord. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Glory to God. The years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, the Lord said, I will restore them. And many of you have lost certain things over the years. The Lord said, I will restore. Glory to God. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that I dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I love that. And listen, he's going to say it twice. My people shall never be ashamed, he said, and you shall know that I am in the midst of my people. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. He said it twice in two verses. So you can take that to heaven with you. Take it to your days of victory. My people, anything that causes shame or has caused shame, the scripture says, my people shall never be ashamed. And so we reverse that thing in Jesus' name. We reverse the crooked places. Let them be made straight. Glory to God. Let the rough places be made a plain also. Mountains and hills that have blocked your way, let them be brought down in Jesus' name. And valleys where the devil said, well, I'll keep you. You're not ever coming out of there. Well, suddenly you'll be lifted out of the valley. He'll bring you out of the horrible pit. We must believe God and begin to declare it for ourselves. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's in this room today listening, and those that may listen later on. Let the anointing for total lifting come upon them. The season of their breakthrough beginning today. The anointing for full recovery in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. I give you, Lord, the praise. And I give you, Lord, the glory. Teach your children, Lord, to use your word. Use this word of God for yourself. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.